You're listening to the HR Happy Hour Show with hosts Steve Bowes and Trish McFarland. Since 2009, the HR Happy Hour Show has been bringing you thought leaders, workplace and technology experts, academics, and more to take on the most important and interesting topics impacting work, human resources, technology, and the workplace. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net. Welcome to the HR Happy Hour Show. My name's Steve Bowes. Great to be with you on HR Happy Hour number 274. Ah, man, we're driving towards 300. We're going to have to do a celebration for show 300. But great to be back with you. It is a Thursday, cold January day in Rochester, New York. I am still in Rochester trying to find my way out of here as soon as possible for warmer climates. But I hope wherever you are today in the world, things are treating you well. First off, before we welcome our guest today, we have a super guest waiting in the wings. I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, of course, Virgin Pulse, www.virginpulse.com. Many thanks for all their support and all their help. Check out all the interesting things they are doing there. And thanks, folks, for listening. We've gotten a lot of feedback and tweets and emails so far this year. And for some of the shows we've done in 2017, it's off to a great start. So thanks so much for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. And thanks for being a part of the HR Happy Hour family. Quick announcement from me. I'm going to be in Cleveland soon at a couple of events, February 8th. So any listeners in the Cleveland area, look for me at a SHRM, a special HR technology session of the Cleveland SHRM folks on February 8th, as well as something I'm doing with my friends at Ultimate Software on the night of February 8th. So look for more information about that next week, and I hope to see lots of folks out in Cleveland. Love Cleveland. Hope the Cavs are in town. Maybe I can get to a game. But lastly, quick update, and this is mostly for Trish, who's not with us today, but I wanted to mention this. Trish, I've seen two of the 9 Best Picture Oscar-nominated movies as I prep for the HR Happy Hour annual Oscars preview show, which I'm super excited about. I've seen La La Land, and I've seen Hell or High Water. Both are very good. Not sure I like either one of them for Best Picture yet. Got 7 more to go. Looking forward to seeing those films. And, of course, looking forward to the HR Happy Hour Oscar preview show. All right, that's enough nonsense for me. Let's get to the good part of the show. We have a super guest waiting in the wings. I believe making his debut on the HR Happy Hour show, which is exciting. We have Mr. Dan Finnegan joining us today. He is the CEO and president of JobVite. He brings over 25 years of experience launching and growing high-powered internet businesses. Prior to his current position at JobVite, Dan was both a senior vice president for Yahoo and the general manager of Yahoo Hot Jobs. Before those roles, he served as the CEO of online media giant Knight Ridder Digital, where he was a member of the board of directors at CareerBuilder. Today, Dan works to ensure that JobVite's technology helps enterprises source dedicated, high-quality talent while also assisting job seekers in finding meaningful work. Please welcome to the show, Dan Finnegan. Dan, how are you today?
I'm good. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Hey, great to have you. I can't believe this is the first time we've had you on the show. That's my fault. So I'm going to take responsibility for that and apologize in advance. So I'm glad we were able to do this today.
No worries. By the way, I heard you say you're now in Rochester.
I am.
I was last there in fifth grade, and I've always wanted to go back and see the willow tree I planted when I was in first grade with my father.
Nice.
I can see it on Google Maps. It's gotten quite big.
So was it in the lawn there where you lived? It was. Where was the tree?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was in the front yard, and it was a tiny. It looked like a stick when we planted it when I was a kid. And if you go on Google Maps now and you find the house, it's this. It takes over the entire yard. You can't even see the yard because.
That's amazing. That's really fun. Yeah, well, if you do get back to Rochester, Dan, you'll have to let me know, and we'll go have a garbage plate or something along those lines here in Rochester.
Well, it's a great place for a kid to be in a winter wonderland like that, but I will do that the next time I'm there.
That's fantastic. Hey, Dan, I'd love for you to give us and give the listeners maybe the update, overview of what's happening at JobVite. I'd love to know myself because I think I know JobVite a little bit, but I have a feeling I don't know everything that's been going on because I think a lot has changed over the years.
Well, yeah, we continue to evolve. I think the most important thing for me to share with you and your audience is that JobVite, since day one, has been only about recruiting.
Okay.
And that was the vision that the founder and I met on and agreed on back in when I joined in 2008. There was only 10 to 11 of us.
Wow.
Back in 2008 here in the Bay Area. And, you know, our view was that the applicant tracking system, and I knew enough to be dangerous about ATSs because, as you said, I was on the board of CareerBuilder and I ran HotJobs, and we integrated, obviously, with the old ATSs at the time and even looked at investing in some of them, like RecruitSoft, which later became Taleo.
Mm-hmm.
So, but at the time in 2008, the world was changing. The world was changing actually pretty dramatically in technology. Number one, and users may on the internet may remember this, that the interfaces were starting to become much more dynamic. It was called Web 2.0.
Right, right. Wow, Web 2.0. I haven't heard that term in a while, but yeah, you're so right. That was all we talked about.
Like,
yeah.
Consumer web. The other thing was the Mashable web, right? Everything was integrating with everything else.
Yeah.
The other thing was social networks, and it was clear at HotJobs that companies like LinkedIn and even Facebook were going to change recruiting in fundamental ways because people were putting information that was always private in their resume inside of HotJobs and making it very public and searchable and findable on Google on their profiles. And then finally, you know, there was the mobile device was starting to emerge as the tool by which people were using the internet. And so when I met the founder, we talked for a long, long lunch and came to the agreement that applicant tracking was a lot like Salesforce,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that Salesforce, which was a tool that had really taken off in the 2000s, there had been CRMs like Siebel before,
right.
but they never really took off. Sales reps hated to use them. But Salesforce was this CRM that sales reps liked to use because of the user interface and because of the consumer user experience and because it helped them do their job better.
Right, yep.
And you know, if you think about selling versus recruiting, what does a sales rep do with Salesforce? They take an opportunity and they work that opportunity down into a sale. Well, in recruiting, an opportunity is called a candidate or an applicant.
Right.
And a recruiter works that candidate or applicant down the funnel into a hire. And that's when we realized, oh my God, recruiting software is going to go through the same evolution, if not revolution, that sales and marketing software is going through. So with that, we decided to combine forces. I joined the company. And ever since that moment, we've been focused only on the what we call the marketing and sales funnel of recruiting, helping recruiting departments go beyond just the applicant tracking capability, but to build from the very top the pipeline of competitive talent and help them not only close the sale, but onboard the new hire into the HRIS system. And we're going to stay focused on that funnel of recruiting.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I remember my first kind of introduction or awareness of JobVite was that sort of ubiquitous JobVite itself, right? Which at the time certainly was like amazing. Wait, I mean, I can forward this job along to a friend or to my colleagues on LinkedIn, or I can tweet it out or whatever I can do with it, and the company will know that I did that, and we'll be able to figure out, you know, how the referrals came in, and we'll be able to track the effectiveness of different messaging and campaigns. That was amazing. And I think we take it for granted a little bit now, right, in 2017. But back when you guys did it, it was so innovative. I had never seen it before. And I still, you know, that's the thing I always remember, right? Wow, that was the coolest thing ever.
I really appreciate it. You know, it's funny. That's the thing most people remember us for. And at its core was, I think, an even greater revolution of recruiting software.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the founders who were engineers and being engineers in the Valley had experienced the challenges of recruiting. They wanted to create a tool that they would use, not just the recruiting department.
Right.
And what they did, they were the first to build recruiting software or applicant tracking system that was fully integrated with email and calendaring. They did it, remember the Mashable web, anything can integrate with
right.
anything. Google Maps was integrated to all websites. they thought, well, why don't we just integrate Microsoft Outlook calendaring and email into applicant tracking? And so when they demoed it for me, I thought, wow, Dad, because when I ran Hot Jobs, I don't know if you remember these days, because this might date you, we owned a company called Resimix, which some people say is the first ever ATS. And so I had seen Resimix, I had seen Brass Ring, which later became Conexa. Right. When I saw JobVite and that beautiful integration into email and calendaring, I looked at them and I said, my God, that's brilliant. And what Jesper Schultz, the founder, said is, yes, and it allows you to share any job via email and it's tracked.
Yeah.
And when they explained to me the technology they built for the tracking of a job byte via email, we came to two conclusions. Number one, well, first of all, people probably aren't going to share via email that much, but they might post a job byte on LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter, hence what you remember and most people remember, the social job byte, which became somewhat famous in the industry. But the second big contribution of that integration with Outlook was, no matter what happens with the job byte, it's trackable. And that's when we had the epiphany that recruiting is going to become more like marketing. Every job listing is essentially an offering, an ad, and you're going to track its effectiveness like you would if you were a marketing department tracking a small little ad on the internet.
Right.
And that's when we realized, oh my gosh, this foundational platform that they built, not only is it more convenient because it's integrated to what recruiters use every day, calendaring and email, but it's also built in technology that will allow them to understand the effectiveness of everything they do throughout the funnel of recruiting.
Yeah, and that's such an interesting and important point. The idea of, hey, we're not going to try to build some kind of a tool that's going to require you as a recruiter, as a hiring manager, whomever, right, an administrator to, hey, let's go over here now to this new system, learn how it works, learn a new process flow, learn a new UX. I mean, yes, there's all those things you can do, but let's build this so that it's going to exist and work seamlessly in the tools that you're using all the time, all day long, every day, and that everybody understands and knows, right? I mean, I've written so much about how much I hate email, but it's still probably the quote-unquote killer app, right, for 30 years or if not more, and there's so many reasons why. And so bringing those kinds of capabilities inside to Outlook and to email in general is just very, very innovative and very important, still even today, right, in 2017.
Very much so, and obviously we've had to evolve with the technology. So integrating, as you point out, just with email, that's not enough.
Right.
People now they now text, they now Slack, they do a lot. There's a lot of communication, so you've got to integrate with all the tools that people are
using. I spent a little bit of time this morning going through. You mentioned Slack. That's what made me think of it, Dan. I'm not a super Slack person or expert by any means, but someone said to me, "Hey, you really need to look at all the HR integrations that are happening now in Slack. There's some interesting things going on there, and you might want to think about that or talk about it." So I was looking at that today, as a matter of fact, and there's quite a lot of them as well. So yeah, it's kind of a moving target for sure. But conceptually, there's some really interesting things I wanted to touch on, and you hinted on a couple of these, Dan, as we were talking. And this idea of recruiting, looking, feeling, being managed much more like marketing, maybe even like sales to some extent. I've heard more and more of that over the last couple of years, even to the point where this concept of, recruitment marketing is now like a real thing that people talk about as a distinct kind of set of processes or a distinct function in a talent acquisition organization. I'd maybe love for you to comment at least what you're seeing, and maybe with some of your customers, how they're embracing these concepts, and how then embracing these recruiting is like marketing concepts are helping them with their talent acquisition challenges.
Okay, yeah, for sure. Yes, we did, as I said, view recruiting since day one at JobVite as a marketing and sales funnel. And as such, and we even trademarked the phrase recruiting is marketing way back when.
Oh, did you? Interesting. I better be careful if I use that phrase.
We may have been a little early.
Yeah, I think you probably were, yeah.
Yeah, in 2009, when we launched the social job bite, which kind of made us famous, the ability to share jobs on social networks, we also launched a CRM.
Okay.
And the there were only a handful, not even a handful, a couple of companies that were trying to create CRM capability for recruiting departments. And what I mean by that was applicant tracking is software built for someone who's already applied.
Right.
And the thinking here was, well, there's a lot that takes place in recruiting before that happens. There needs to be software that helps companies build a pipeline of pre-applicants or prospects. And that was the concept. And we called it initially JobBite Source when we unveiled it at HR Tech with our social recruiting. The social recruiting capability got all the coverage, all the excitement,
right.
And no one wanted to talk about the CRM part. But since then, it's evolved. We've renamed it JobBite Engage, and we've added not only capabilities to build a pipeline of talent, but to, more importantly, like you would if you ran a marketing department, to keep those prospects warm, to move them down the funnel, with interesting content, the things that they care about. And that's what we have customers now doing. We have customers who sometimes they use JobBite Engage and integrate it into their, you know, existing older ATS. And we have obviously a lot of customers who use it in conjunction with our own ATS product. But at the end of the day, it's not a complicated concept. Recruiting departments now know that they have to have a continual pipeline. Why? Because candidates are, like never before, are a lot like shoppers. I say they're not job hoppers, they're job shoppers. They go to Glassdoor, they go to LinkedIn, and they're always looking for their next gig. Why? Because they think they have to build their own career, that no one company is going to build it for them.
Yeah.
Plus, at their fingertips on their phone are all these opportunities to look at and all these reviews of companies. So they're always looking, just like a shopper is always shopping. And in that world, you're going to lose employees every 3 to 4 years. If you're lucky, you might be able to keep them 5 to 6. If it's not atypical for young people to be every 2 years. Therefore, the old way of recruiting used to be, oh my gosh, somebody left, we've got to fill the job. Or we have a new budget and we're creating new jobs. Well, now recruiting is not only doing those two things, but they're replacing people who are churning out all the time.
Right.
And therefore, you need a continual pipeline of talent. So you ask me, what are JobBite customers doing? They're having a continual campaign with their local universities and continuing communications and sharing information that college juniors and seniors would find interesting about how to look for a job in Rochester, New York,
sure.
Or how to look for a job in Cleveland, or how to look for a job in engineering. And companies are doing minority recruiting and building a database of minority candidates or female candidates because they want to increase the percentage in their company. And so what are they doing? They're creating content that appeals to minorities and to women and other populations. And they're continually keeping them engaged. And then when the time comes to recruit someone for a role in that space, they're reaching out more directly with that database with specific job opportunities.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have companies that are doing it globally, like Schneider Electric, who's doing both minority hiring as well as hiring through colleges and going far beyond that.
Yeah, Dan, you made a few really interesting points, a couple things I'd love to follow up on. Let me just do a quick reset for folks who are listening. My name is Steve Bowes. This is the HR Happy Hour Show. I'm joined by Dan Finnegan, CEO and president of JobBite. We're talking about kind of the evolution, some of the evolution of recruiting technology, and recruiting process in the last few years or so. You know, the labor market stuff and that constant kind of the churn and the turnover is so interesting to me, and I'm a labor market BLS data geek, and every month when the jobs report comes out, and more specifically the labor turnover report, the JOLTS report, which is my favorite one, you'll see things in a month like, oh, the economy created, I don't know, 175,000 jobs this year, which is great, right? And it's been going like that for a while. But then you flip the page to page two of that report, and you see there were, you know, 5.3 million hires and 5.1 million separations, right? Which gave you the 200,000 jobs. So the churn is just tremendous, even in a slowing economy, which is not what's happening now. But, you know, an average economy is producing 5 million hires a month in the United States, which is incredible, right?
You know, my father's generation, I call him the madman generation.
Yeah.
his generation, on average, college graduates, on average, would have four jobs in a career.
Yeah.
It's funny. I remember back in 1994, pitching the LA Times to invest in something called the job board. We created with other newspaper companies this thing called careerpaths.com. Some of your listeners may remember it. We tried to buy the monster board back in October.
I do remember the monster board, yes.
Yeah, in any event, our argument was that my generation, and I was born in 1962, we were going to have seven, maybe eight jobs in a career, which is double my father's generation.
Right.
Well, if you're a recent college graduate now with a college degree, or you're a senior in college, you could expect to hold 15 to 20.
Yeah.
So think about that over three generations, going from four to eight to 15 to 20. So it means then that companies need to be continuously recruiting. It's not an episodic, private, confidential act anymore. It is a public, open, ongoing, and that sounds a lot like marketing and sales.
Yeah, it really does. And you mentioned the privacy thing too, and it struck me as it wasn't that long ago, right, when we meaning just the general regular person, right, me, you know, the guy up the road who's in accounting, would kind of felt weird about having a LinkedIn profile. Like, why do I want that? Why do I want to post the last four jobs I had in public? That's a weird thing, right? I don't want to do that. And it's changed completely, right? Obviously, we're not living in that time anymore, but it's not that long ago when we were, right, at all.
No, I mean, when I ran Hot Jobs, we were very proud of our feature called Hot Block. And we bragged about it all the time. And what it meant was that if you post your resume on Monster, someone in your company may find your resume and know you're looking for a job.
Yeah.
But if you post it in Hot Jobs, you can block anyone from your company from finding. Well, now, I mean, that's an absurd concept, and it's only been 15 years. That everyone's resume is out there findable on Google and LinkedIn at any time.
Yeah, and now we're telling people, we'll tell college students, hey, you know, you need to be out there. You need to have a robust LinkedIn profile. You need to maybe have a website. Maybe you should, of course, mind your manners on social media and all of this, right? Like, it's completely different, but good. It's exciting, right? And I think I've said this, I've written this in HR Executive Magazine the last couple of years. I'll say it again this year. It's a really exciting time in this space, in the recruiting space, the recruiting technology space, and the overall, I think, HR technology space.
I really want to make a point that you already brought up, that if a CEO, I mean, everyone understands that a CEO needs to plan what their revenue is going to be 3, 4, 5 years from now,
sure.
Right? And so they do a lot of work today to predict what their revenue is going to be in 3 years, and they plan it out. But no one is predicting as much as they should in their company of what is the number of people by position I'm going to need 3 to 4 years. And if they did that on a regular basis and they took into account the churn that we're now noting, then they realize, oh my gosh, I got to behave like a marketing department and build a pipeline, just like I have to build a pipeline of prospects that turn into customers.
Yeah, exactly. And if that 3 to 5 year revenue plan then implies that, I don't know, you're going to have a 500 person growth in headcount over that same time period, you're not hiring 500 people, right? You're probably hiring 900 people, right? The 500 you
That's
want to grow
right.
by, and the 400 to replace the 400 who left, because, as you
That's
said,
right.
the churn is picked up. And it's even funny, today I was talking to someone a couple of days ago, and I even found myself giving advice for what it's worth that I would have never given 8 years ago or 10 years ago, which is to the person, like, hey, you got to be careful you don't stay in that job too long. You know, people will look at that and say, hey, what's this person doing? They've been 3 years in that role. Why haven't they moved on, right? And you know, a couple of decades ago for sure, and maybe even 10 years ago, we might not have been so quick to tell someone that.
That's right. I had a head of HR for a very well-known venture capital firm here in the Valley say, and he told me this 4 years ago. He said, 10 years ago, I see someone on their resume and they left before staying 5 to 7 years, and I'd think, what's wrong with you? Why did you jump around?
Yeah.
And now I look and see that they stayed more than 3 years, and I think, what's wrong with you? What were you doing, hanging out, doing
exactly,
nothing?
Exactly. Hey, one last thing I wanted to hit you up with, Dan, before we let you go for the today, is to talk a little bit about analytics and measurement. We've talked a little bit about the churn and the constant need to recruit and to nurture and to engage candidates and potential candidates with content. But to me, this is kicking off now, tons and tons of data. And I just wonder what organizations are doing, some of your customers are doing, and how do you think about measurement and analytics and how to help recruiters and talent acquisition folks make sense out of all this data?
Well, sure. There's a lot of ways for people to learn from the use of their software. Personally, I think the biggest, probably in the long term, the most value that's going to come from software having moved from client server model to the SaaS cloud model mm-hmm. is going to be the value of the data itself. Why? Because you have all these companies doing the same thing on a single platform. So right now, Salesforce is sitting on a gold mine of data on what works and what does not work in sales.
Sure.
And what does works and what does not work with regard to customer success. And Jobvite now is sitting on a gold mine of data of what works and what does not work in recruiting. So that's one point I'd like to make on that topic. Second, you know, the most common asks I hear about from recruiting departments still are around the old, what's the quality of hire, the cost per hire, and let's say, and time to fill.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's quite common. And in fact, I think quality ultimately is the thing that most matters. However, when someone is going to leave every 3 to 4 years, as we were talking earlier,
right.
It's really hard to get at that quality measure. And you know, I think a lot had been speculated that the performance management data could be married with recruiting data in the larger suites, and I think that was a little silly, you know, at least certainly in the short term. However, you know, we do know some things now about the quality of hire. For example, every employee has a login on Jobvite.
Okay.
And we have the assumption that the HR community has had for many years, which is that employee referral hires are a higher quality hire. So when we looked at our own data across all the companies who've used Jobvite over many years, guess what we found out? That employee referral hires stay employees a lot longer than any other source of hire.
Interesting.
And when we learned that, that's when we started to really recognize the value of this data that we're sitting on. And so we've been spending a lot of time over the last few years now working on our own algorithms to share insights from the database with our customers. Now, the old school way of learning is through reports, but I don't know any CEO or executive now who wants to, you know, flip through pages of spreadsheet
mm-hmm. right.
reports. So I think what you've seen happen with products like Jobvite is we're providing data at the right place at the right time while you use the product. And so that's where you hear the term dashboards, and we now have, you know, the first page you see is a dashboard that you can configure completely on your own for on virtually every variable that's housed in the Jobvite platform. So
okay.
if you're a hiring manager, you can look at only your recs and what's the progress on them and what's the close rate on them. But if you're heading the department, you can look at your entire subsidiary, and certainly there's a CEO view even as well. What we're now doing is we're moving beyond just descriptive analytics like a report that describes what happened.
Right.
And we're starting to share predictive analytics, what is likely to happen based on what has happened. So right now we are rolling out for some customers the ability to understand, based on the volume of candidates you have in your pipeline or applicants, and if you're a user of Java and Engage, based on the number of prospects you have in your pipeline,
okay,
how long is it likely going to take you to fill the job, based on the geographic location, based on the job itself, based on your performance in the past, based on other companies like you and their performance? And if you think about time to fill, it's a pretty valuable variable. Why? We also looked at employee referral hires, and guess what we found out? They're the shortest time to hire.
Mm-hmm, right.
They're hired the fastest. Why? Well, clearly they're getting through the interview process pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Versus a candidate who just applied on the career website. So time to fill, I think, is a measure of economic efficiency for sure, and the minimization of opportunity cost because the job's unfilled, but it's also, I think, a quasi-measure of quality.
Yeah.
Because if a candidate's going to go through really quickly and more likely to go through quickly, perhaps you've already proven in the past that that's the kind of candidate that does well in your company. The future, of course, is, and we're starting to get there in our areas of search, for example, is to recommend what you should do.
That's so, where it really starts to get interesting, right? Like,
I think so. Yeah. And, you know, I think the most valuable commodity that a company has in its HR department is the time that the recruiting department has to spend. And that recruiting department is wasting time with unqualified candidates and spending too much time with candidates that are not appropriate for the company because so many people applied, then they've got an economic problem in recruiting. And they're not optimizing what they can be doing for their hiring managers and the rest of the company. So as much as we're in the hiring business as recruiting software and recruiters, we're also in the rejection business. And
right.
I really believe that JobBite's job is to help our very, very busy professionals figure out who to reject and who not to spend time with so that they can focus on the ones that will be a success. Now, obviously, those algorithms are going to take time to evolve and become good, just like Amazon's algorithms about which movies to focus on and not focus on took a long time.
Sure.
But that's clearly where we're going.
Yeah, and I love this idea of like optimizing for time, right? Because the one thing that you need, you can't create any more of it. I guess you could hire more recruiters, but you know what I mean? Like that, this idea that we're going to make a combination of smart technology, better recommendation engines, maybe some predictive insights and some decision support to optimize for time, I think is really interesting and spot on. Dan, this has been loads of fun. I know we could probably go on for a while more. Maybe we will one another time, or when you come up to Rochester, we'll sit down and chat again and talk recruiting and recruiting technology. But it's been a great pleasure to have you on, and I appreciate you taking the time to spend with us today.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I'll just say two more things.
Sure.
One, not only is recruiter time valuable, but the cool thing is if they're spending less time doing all the rote, boring stuff, they can focus on the stuff that they like doing, which is helping people find the right job and companies and hiring managers find the right people. That's why they became recruiters.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I really feel like it's our job to get rid of that boring stuff. And then my final comment, by the way, is I heard you say that you saw two Oscar-nominated films. I saw both those films as well, and they were great. But Manchester by the Sea, I think, is
you like that one.
I do, very much.
All right,
much.
So I'm that's on my list for this weekend. And, yeah, I'm trying, like I mentioned at the top, I'm trying to get to all nine. I did it last year because Trish and I started this tradition 3 years ago or so where we do we take a break from HR and HR tech and we talk Oscars on the podcast. And the first year we did it, I had seen, I think, one of, like, nine movies that were nominated. So it was pretty bad for me. So we try to do better this year. But, yeah, I'll be out there at the movies this weekend for sure. So, yeah, that's fun. Good
okay.
stuff, Dan. And so jobbite.com is the website to learn more about what JobBite is up to. That's www.jobbite.com. jobvite.com. Lots of stuff, lots of great studies, and we didn't even talk about the research, the job seeker research you guys publish every year, which is really fascinating and interesting. I'm sure you can find copies of some of that stuff there as well, and I'd encourage folks to check out jobvite.com and learn more about what's happening there.
Great. Thank you very much.
All right,
Steve.
Dan, thank you so much. Great to be with you. And many thanks, of course, to our sponsor, Virgin Pulse, virginpulse.com. Shout out to them. Thanks to everyone for listening. Appreciate it. And we'll let you get back to your busy day. Maybe you're recruiting today, and hopefully your search for talent is going to work out for you. So many thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour Show. Subscribe, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, all the apps. You know how to find us, www.hrhappyhour.net. We will see you next time on the HR Happy Hour Show. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour Show, your source for information and conversation on work, the workplace, technology, and more. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.